I find this absolutely fascinating, and I did not know about it. It's been around since 2011 until yesterday, driving home with my son, who had just been, he was having a palate cleansing sort of experience. He had just been listening to classical music for an hour, and he said he really needed to just shift gears, and he asked to borrow my phone, which he did. He picked up and he DJ'd our ride home to the tune of his favorite thing to listen to these days, which I hadn't really clued into, and it's called Monster Cat. And I, for a while, and I think he was under a misapprehension too, that it was an artist itself called Monster Cat. No, it turns out what Monster Cat is an independent record label based in Vancouver with a whole host of artists under its umbrella, and a very interesting approach on a couple of fronts. Number one, the deals it does with artists are far different than traditional record industry deals. It does, for example, I think sometimes one-on-one, one track only kinds of arrangements with artists, or maybe they sign up to do more works than that. But the artists wind up keeping control and ownership over far more of their catalog than they otherwise would in a conventional recording deal. Secondly, they have a very, and this is why my son knows about them, they have a very progressive licensing approach. It's not as progressive as donating things to the public domain, but they are trying something new and different with licensing. The reason my son knows about them is they are particularly targeting folks who record videos for YouTube and Twitch and wanting to make their catalog of artists available to that group of people. They are having great success with that. My son knows about them from watching Let's Play videos, where Monster Cat artists are used as the background music for what's going on, or maybe for live streams, I think, in the case of either YouTube or Twitch. But they have a couple of different licensing models that they offer for people who want to reuse Monster Cat artists' works. They have a free model, and they have a paid subscription model. The paid subscription model is $15 roughly a month. And for that, you can make commercial use of their works by using advertising, by profiting from advertising on those platforms. With the other one, with the free one, you can't. You can still use the music, but you're not supposed to also get the ad revenue if you do. And the other kicker there is if you're paying the subscription license, they will exempt you. They will make sure that your channel is not being put in the content ID system, so you're not being content matched to have to deal with the hassle of potentially have your videos taken down. In the free model, that's not the case. You're still going to be in the content ID system. I think if you're in the free model and Monster Cat decides, there's no harm, no foul, they'll still leave your videos up, but you might have the administrative headache of having to jump through a few more hurdles. The other thing I will say about this, having listened to a lot of their catalog on the way home yesterday, is it's great stuff. It's really, really good electronic music. I was really impressed. I was telling my son that some of it sounded like Thievery Corporation to me, and he's like, "What's that?" That's way too old for him to know what it is.
Pinch his little cheeks.
But it's really good stuff, and I think they've hit on something very innovative and interesting here. Emery, I think you took a look at the actual terms of the license when you put that in our discussion points. I did too, and I noticed some confusion there about they seem to be wanting to have that subscription license be for commercial use. I would consider advertising revenue commercial use, but their language in the license is a little bit weird and doesn't really clearly say that you can make commercial use. It does clearly say that you can use ads, so redrafting could be in order.
I'm right there with you. I think that it's, I'm very interested in it as, a new business model for a music label. You know, the fact that they're successful and they're making money, more power to them. As far as how revolutionary it is, I'm not sure if I'm on board with that. I took a look at the actual terms, and you know, I feel free for Anna to correct me if she's taking a look at this as well, but some of the terms don't actually sound that great. So as I understand it, the music subscriber license allows content creators that have the license to reuse any other content creator that is also subscribed to the Monster Cat subscriber license. But the terms of use actually specify that you're not allowed to make commercial use of those songs. So you are allowed, the only thing that you're allowed to use are to reuse that content in order to make YouTube or Twitch videos. And you can then collect 100% of the advertising streams from those videos. But that's it. You can't monetize the videos in any other way. And really, you're tied to YouTube and Twitch. Monster Cat, let's be very clear, owns all the rights to the song otherwise. You're just basically granted a license to it. Now, that's not that different from the way the traditional publisher model has worked. You know, the record label owned all the songs before and could control how they are marketed. But it's a little, I don't know, it rubs me the wrong way when a company comes out with the ethos that they have, that the, you know, they're all about the community, and they put out this manifesto that said that, you know, piracy isn't piracy, it's a celebration of music, which frankly I agree with. But the power dynamic between the record label and the artists is still still just as unbalanced, I think. I'm not really clear. What it seems to be is that it's a very good way of building a very tight community of dance music that is tied explicitly to YouTube and Twitch and to the Monster Cat brand. So that's great. You know, that's great that it works in that context for that community. You know, I think that the nature of dance music lends itself more to this type of model than probably any other kind of music. Maybe hip hop or electronic, you know, other, you know, more as electronic music gets into every other genre, maybe it's more applicable. But it does sort of worry me that it's tied so completely to these platforms. You know, the artists are really at the mercy of YouTube and Twitch, and they can't take those songs and do anything else with them. So, you know, it's great, but it definitely has some issues with it.
The reaction I had when I read through the actual terms of service is, and I read the manifesto too, which is a wonderful statement of how we think in today's day and age that music is derivative and builds on itself and sharing and mashups and yay. But then when you go through and read those terms, it's like their lawyers didn't get that memo.
Oh, yeah,
and I think maybe the terms are broader than they need to be. And I think that the company, you know, if push came to shove, my guess is that they would say, no, we're not going to sue you for infringement, but who knows?
I certainly hope so. Yeah. I certainly hope so. They seem to be totally capitalizing on the community aspect. I mean, I can see already we've got a couple people in the chat that that obviously like Monster Cat, and and the community is great. I worry about companies that sort of create a community of loyal followers that almost certainly haven't actually read the terms of use. You know, we can say that when push comes to shove, they would say, oh, we certainly don't want to sue you. You know, and according to their contract, they certainly could.
Right. And there's a real danger of that. When this was presented to me and I was listening to all the good music, my son, you know, knowing what I'm interested in, chimed in and said, and you know, all of their music, well, how he put it was, is not under copyright. And I had to explain, under copyright, but it might be licensed.
Their website, the way they present it on their website is, I think it's just misleading. I think that the sound blurbs, the paragraph of FAQs that they have, is frankly just not clear about who actually owns the rights. They say things like, oh, you can use the music for free. And that's big caveats there, you know?
Yeah.
So again, you know, it's I am more cynical than I'd like to be about these, disruptive companies. But best of luck. I hope that they turn out not to be evil.
Right. They may have some growing pains around uses that they're okay with and not. And we may see them in the news more in the future for that. But in the meantime, I just wanted to bring it to people's attention. It looks like, first of all, it's a great catalog of music. And secondly, they're trying something new and different, both on the artist side and on the reuse side.